But I want to give you a tiny brief recap before I pray. Here's what we have. Ready? This is what we learned hopefully last week. What's love got to do with it? What's the answer? Everything. Good, church. See, you paying attention. But we also learned that God expresses his love and his desire for humanity, right? By paying the cost. He paid the cost, right? For our hearts. Remember, that's the greatest act of love. He paid the cost for our hearts, right? Mankind's hearts are the only thing that matters to him. That's what we learned last week, too. So, Father, I pray the Holy Spirit come breathe on this little mini episode. If you want to close it out today, the things that you want to do, I step aside to help me be in rhythm with your spirit today, that folks could come fed with things that, right from heaven, Father, so they could be ready in their season to produce fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. This is part two. I felt French this week, so it's part two of What Love Got to Do With It. Today's episode is named, I don't know if we do that anymore, back in tapes we didn't name it. I'm still videotaping, so don't, Jesse, stop laughing at me. Just come on. But if we're going to mark this particular episode, it's going to be, now is the time to love the ones you're with. Now's the time to love the ones you're with. Now, as I say that, I realize I better put some context to that. Because if you were raised in the 60s and 70s, that means a whole new thing to you. Mm-hmm. Anyone? Yeah, right. Love the one you with. Yeah. So I think I should clear it up. There's the world's perspective, right? To love the one you with. Just cast off God's ways when it comes to relationships. Cast aside God's intentions for relationships. Cast off all restraint and loyalty. Just do what feels best to you at the moment that you're in. Yeah, that's the world's love, the one you with. Before Jesus, I lived in that world. It's all about me. Right? Anybody else? Anybody else? If it was, then you're not saved. You didn't have that experience. If you didn't get saved from your own self, then what would you get saved from? Right? And so we have that going on. And so I looked at love the one you're with, and I thought, oh, I better clear that up, right, Lord? So here's God, I feel, God's perspective on love the one you're with. Ready? Love those that he puts in your life. Love those he tells you to. Love how he wants you to. And how he tells you to do it, right? We should use our limited time here on earth to every day, say all day, love where you're at. Yeah, we got to love where we're at. We got to do a way better job of loving where we're at. Sometimes we want to love the orphans across the world, and our wife gets jack diddly of love. I don't know. Right? Love the one you're with before you start loving the world. Right? God so loved the world, and he sent us to do a job with it. And we got to start taking care of the what's with us in front of us right now. That's the most important thing, right? Your right now is the most important thing. You know why? Tomorrow's isn't guaranteed. Tomorrow can go like that, you know? So last week, I'm sure you all remember some very important things. You remembered to ask yourself the question, right? The examine me. How'd that go for any of the rest of you? All right. Let the pastor move on from that. Yeah, I examined my heart, and he said, yeah, it's a good thing you're working on the love message. Why? He says, because you court low or two. That's what happens when you get your heart examined, right? He had to tell me. The second thing I'm sure you remember is love has everything to do with it. You already told me that. You know all that. And you know to adjust your expectations, right, on what his love is. Remember, we expect perfect from everybody. Pastor better be perfect. You better leave right now. You expect that. They edit me every week and stuff I say behind the pulpit. I'm not perfect. I make bad choices sometimes, just like you all do, right? But we put expectations on everybody greater than we expect of ourselves most of the time. Say, I'm the church. I'm going to stop that. I'm the church, and I'm going to stop that. There we go. That's my church this morning. Y'all thugs, get up there. The fourth thing we learned, that love is best exported. Love is best exported. Just be concerned with that. Most of the time I'm concerned, I'm not getting enough love. My needs, not that I'm just losing our needs, but he never called us to look only after our own needs. He said to do the opposite of that. He said, look for the best of someone else. And that's sacrificial love. That's really hard to do. So I don't know about you. I had to hit the brakes this week as I was going through this message. I hope I hit the brakes long enough to not give you whiplash today, but to have you slow over and think about what you need for the next season you're about to enter. Because whether you know or not, the next season's already here. It's already here. I've got a prophetic word. I actually sent the scripture. She didn't even know I got a scripture. I'm recapping some stuff, but she didn't know. What's love got to do with it? Everything, right? So here's the big reminder. Love the ones you're with. Romans 13:11, we learn this. Do this knowing that it is a critical time. You feel critical time? Anybody feel critical time? Yeah, it's critical time. It is already the hour. Oh, it started. Oh, it's coming. No, it started. It's already the hour. It is already the hour for you to awaken. What did Pastor Jody just sing in the spirit today? It's now time to wake up. I'll wake up someday. I'm only 15. I'll figure it out. No, wake up now, 15-year-old. I've been around for 116 years. He's talking to you too. Wake up. He's waking up his bride. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Right? And it's great to wake up when he's all gentle. Come on, wake up, rouse my love. But then when you're 5 minutes late for work, it's more like, hey, get up. Yes, baby, I'm up. You know. Do this knowing it's a critical time. The hour has already come to awaken. To awaken from your sleep of spiritual complacency. Say, he's talking to the church. I am the church. Darn it. He's talking to us. To awaken from our spiritual complacency for our salvation is nearer now to us than it was when we first believed in him. Now, I'm going to paraphrase this next one. It's not up there, so don't stress out. Jared, I didn't put it there on purpose. That's going to be my paraphrase. I'm going to encourage you to read it. Maybe I'm messing with you. It's like, I wouldn't do that to you, but you better check sometimes. Just because someone preaches it and says it's in the scripture, you better check for yourself. Because you're the church. Anyways, my PSA is over. Romans 10, 2 through 3, if you want to follow along, you're welcome to. This is what Paul said to the church. Ready? They have a certain enthusiasm for God, but their zeal lacks understanding of who he is. I want to worship and sing, and I want the blessings, but you can't boss me around. You don't know who God is. That's a problem. For they knew about God's righteousness, and they sought to establish their own standard of righteousness. They did not submit to God's way of right. How many know that method never works? Anybody have your own standards for a long time, and you end up crashed up, burned up, crunched up, injured up? Yeah, my next series I think is going to be wounds. Wounds, all of us have them. Wounds, right? I think we're going to do something about wounds next. It keeps me accountable, so Lord, I guess I got to do that. But they did not submit to God's way of right. I wish I could, you know that emoji face that's all crunched up? Yeah, that should make me go, oh yeah, that's crunched up. That is crunched up. It's time to wake up right now. And right now is the time to wake up. God is, and God has ways. We love that God is, but so we don't often love the ways. And it's really hard to love the people sometimes, right? I know. Love him, love them. All the yous he puts in front of yous, right? Say, I'm the church, and I'm waking up. Good. 1 John 3:10. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are clearly identified. How do you sort them out? God says, well, just look at their hearts. Anyone who does not practice righteousness. I'm going to be chewing through this real slow, Jared. It's practiced. It's practiced, not perfected. It's practice. You are practicing Christianity. If you think you're a perfect Christian, you already blew it right there. H life, humility, go back to square one, start over. It's a practice. It's not perfection. Jesus showed us the way, the perfect one. The rest of us are just practicing, right? Practice is important. It's to be practiced, though. It's not like, well, I became a Christian, but I don't practice it. Then you're not a Christian. I know that's really hard. You are what you practice. A prayer doesn't make you a believer. Practicing Christianity does. Because it proves what you prayed meant something to you, and you surrendered something to Him. Practice. Say practice. Anyone who does not practice righteousness and who does not seek God's will, don't let this happen to you, because that's a choice, right? That's a choice right there. We all love our choices. That's a choice. We can seek God's will, or we can keep doing what we want to do. That's not the hour for that. It's time to wake up. That's not a great choice. As a parent, that's a bad choice. You can choose to hit your sister in the head, but if you choose that, you're choosing time out. Make a good choice, right? I feel like that here we are. We can choose to practice. We can choose to seek His will for our lives. We can just keep on magic eight balling it. I don't know how you make decisions. Well, whatever feels good to me. Oh, you're gonna love the one you're with. We got to talk about that. It's time to make some better choices. And how do we do it? We seek God's will. Those who do not seek God's will in thought, in action, and in purpose is not of God. Well, if I don't seek Him for the will of my life in every area, I'm not on path with Him. I'm not from God. I'm not of God. I'm not heading the right direction. Nor is the one who does not love his believing brother. I love that. You know why? At first, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. But if I think I can love the world before I can love my brother, then I don't have love. As practice goes, if I feel I'm loving you all great, but she don't feel like she's being loved well, I have not love. It starts to practice close by. We want to practice it around the world into the nebulous thousands of whosoevers. I just want to love the world. Well, I'll tell you, Ed Henderson gets under my skin so much, I can't even be in the room with him. Hug him. I just want to fight him. Not my Ed. Right. Nor is the one who does not love his believing brother, for this is the message. Say, this is the message. This is the message. For this is a message which you have heard from the beginning. That's nothing different, he's saying. That we should unselfishly love and seek the best for who? One another. So love the ones you're with now. We all got excuses sometimes in that now department. But it's time to wake up. And love isn't easy. Love's simple, but it's not easy. I went through the love here. If I ever get to the bottom of my notes, I got stopped at the number. Love is patient. I couldn't get past it, Blanche. Sometimes I got a tank full of patience. I could walk through Walmart sometimes, have someone slap me on the cheek, and I'll go, I'll take this one. Okay. Give me a minute, because I need a minute to respond. I need to collect my Jesus moment, right? I don't know how you're like, yeah, slap me. I'm fine. No, I'm done. Okay. I'm going to walk away, bro. I have those moments like, I could do that. And then there's moments I could be in the checkout line and someone's taking milliseconds too long to scan some label and getting customer help. I'm going, come on, man. Anybody? Thank you. I love my church. Who are the ones in your neighborhood? In your neighborhood. In your neighborhood. Oh, who are the ones in your neighborhood? The people that you meet each day. Love the ones you're with. That's where we practice it, right? Loving the ones you're with. Who's my neighbor, though? Like, right there's that question. Here's just up here. If you had that question, like, well, who's my neighbor? I want you to do something really important. Crack open the New Testament and look what Jesus says who your neighbor is. Look that up. Jesus will explain it better than I can. He'll tell you who your neighbor is. Straight up, he'll tell you. Say, I'll read that. Okay. Here's your homework assignment. You're like, great, Randy, you wanted more homework. So you can all blame Randy. It's just like, Pastor, you're not giving us enough homework. Pile it on. Pile it thick. It's like, Randy, I will. Thank you. I appreciate that. But here's some more homework. You can say, I'm the church. I want you to do this week. Seek to do something good for someone that He leads you to. And don't be like, well, I'm going to go to Walmart and take care of the homeless guy. I'm not talking about that. Do that too. I'm talking about some believer somewhere that is in your life on a regular basis, do something to bless them. That's your homework this week. You're going to practice love this week by that. Okay? That's homework. If you don't like it, just point at Randy. It's her. Okay. It's not Randy's fault. She's just tough and I can throw it on her. You know? John 15:9 says, I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Say, remain. Remain in my love and do not doubt my love for you. Anybody have a problem with that? Oh, Lord, this went wrong and this went wrong. And this, if you love me, why are you doing this? Say, I'm a human. Yeah, it happens to some humans, you know. But he asks us to remain. To remain in love. Keep doing it and then do it some more and then do it another time. Remain in. It's an act of our will. How do you remain in love? That's an excellent question, Mark. First of all, if you want to remain in love, what you could do is you could tap into Dr. Heidi's TikToks. She talks about it all the time. If you want to know how to remain in love in relationships, she's got it cracking, right? But beyond her sage advice, let's see if Jesus has anything. I mean, he has some ideas. I'm sure he does. So I found a few of his ideas about it. So John 15:10. If you want to remain in love, these are some things that Jesus said we can do. If you keep my commandments, what's that got to do with love? You can't separate love and law. It's expressed that way. If you keep my commandments and obey my teachings, you will remain in my love. What? If you keep commandments? Yeah, and it's got to be a heart thing. I know who's checking off the boxes. Pharisee, Sadducee, oh, my son. My daughter, oh, Pharisee, Sadducee, why? They're doing all the, looking all the same things on the outside, but their hearts are jacked up. He said, I'm trying to unjack your hearts. This is the season, get your heart unjacked. Anybody need the heart unjacked? Yeah, right on. I love you all. Unjack their hearts, Father. Right? Is that a prayer? I can pray that, right? Okay. If you keep my commandments and obey my teachings, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Jesus is the example. He did it all the way through. He said, well, Jesus never questioned God. I questioned. Yes, he did. He questioned his Father. All man, all God. He said, hey, if this cup could pass from me, like, I've been thinking about it, and is there another way? I'm down here, and I love these guys, and I love bringing you to the world. And if there's another way, like, you know, that sheep thing is not a bad gig. No, it's me. I knew it was me. I love him too. I'll do it. That's how that went down. That's how that went down. Not that he didn't question, but that's how that went down, right? I have an example, a slide to help us remember what's important. I think I got a slide up there, don't I? Just do it. Nike stole this from God's word. Yeah, that's their motto, but the Lord said, "Just it's now is the time. Do it. Go do this. Do this, do that." He's telling us to do a lot of things. Yeah, why? Because he loves you and he wants you to love the world. He wants you to remain in love, so he's got stuff we should do. We should be something and do something, right? So Nike stole that. So now is the time to do what it takes to remain in love. So please hear me on every level. If this impacts your marriage, please hear it. If this impacts a relationship, please hear it. If this impacts any part of your humanity, please hear it. But I also want you to hear it between heaven and you, okay? Now is the time. Love has everything to do with it. And love's got to be practiced. So I want you to start thinking, when you hear this, anything he's saying, think, where do I first need to practice that? And how am I doing? Right? Love's important. We got to take really good care of it. Because other people are going to supposed to eat from our love trees. And if our roots are bad, our fruits are bad, right? Right. John 15:13-14. No one has greater love nor stronger commitment than to lay down his own life for his friends. You are my friends if. Wow, I never thought friendship had conditions. We're Americans, don't give me conditions. You're my friends if, which means you prove it, what you're saying is true. Ever have something, I'll be with her, I'll be with your boy, something going down in the hood. I'm at your back. And then you call the dude up, hey, something's going on. Oh, man, my mom needs me to do her nails. Bro, you said you had my back. Well, I'm going to be an esthetician. Fine, but not today. You said you'd show up. Right? No greater love, no stronger commitment than lay down his life for his friends. But you're my friends if you keep on doing what I command you. Say, ouch. Read that again, Pastor. Read that again, Pastor. Oh, no. Ouch. That was real ouchy. Ooh. How much time do we have, Lord? Okay. If you keep on doing what I command you, you are my friends if you keep on doing what I command you. So, we're talking about love. It's not lemon squeezy super easy, right? So if you're taking notes, like Kaylee often does, write down this. The church has learned to give love to others, right? Number one, the church has learned to give love to others. Two, God's love, definition of love anyways. So you often want to give love on our conditions, but God will ask different things of you to give love. You know, why does love that way? Well, that's not how they receive love. Well, I just want to squeeze the stuffing out of them. There's certain people here you can squeeze the stuffing out of them, but inside they're going, you got 4 seconds. Why? Because that's not how they get love. Like, that's not good. And some people are like, I don't care. You bought me $1 million. When's the last time you hugged me? We're all different, right? Right. Now is the time, is the third thing. Now is the time to wake up and just do it. No, you're in the game now. No more. It's time. You're in the game. Right? So let's take a tiny peek today in our mini series of What's Love Got to Do with It. And I have another quote from some famous musicians to help us out with it. Love will keep us together. Some of you young people have no idea who Captain Tennille is. That's okay. They weren't super great. But they did a song. Love will keep us together. Right? And so that's truth. If we practice love the way he asks us to, it will keep us together through hard times. We had a hard time with this whole Stripe thing, and I was like, well, people stop giving, and they take all my money in my house, and I'll just go be a missionary in Samoa, peace. Or I'll go get a job making crazy money, and I'll be the best giver they got down the street. You watch the church blow up. But what's that dude, Pastor Sean, he's making $1 million now, and he gave away. I get fierce about that stuff, right? But if we're practicing love like we had, we did. It kept us together. When the enemy would have let the purpose point was to drive us apart. Church has never been going better than it's in this 18 years than it has, in my opinion, recently, this past 2 years. I just feel like it's vibing, don't you mind? I feel the Holy Spirit every Sunday in worship. He's up. He's here. And I get to feel it, and it's great. And he teaches me things. It's wonderful. So I can see why the enemy go, no, we got to hit that. Okay. All right, we just got to get good at turning the other cheek, trusting Jesus, right? Love's going to keep us together, right? So I'll be quick, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. I'll be as quick as I can anyways. This was tough. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Now, I'll just pull over there for a second because some of us grew up in different denominational sects, Catholic, Protestant. And I want to say this. Pray, if you have a prayer language, pray appropriately and respectfully in an atmosphere that you can use your gift. I pray in tongues on the way to church every day. I don't expect anybody else to have that gift. God gave it to me. I'm like a soda bottle shaken up. I need to just pray, Lord. I don't have enough words to pray over everybody here this morning on the way in. Right? But I don't shout them up here. I don't do that. Right? Because then but there goes that guy just came visiting. Sorry, bro. Well, that's just my gift. Well, you just pop someone on the head with your gift. Congratulations, you hammered them, So we have gifts, but then we do it. My daughter-in-law came up to me and said, hey, I feel like I got a word from the Lord. And I didn't go right up there. I said, tell me what you're feeling from God. She told me, oh, yeah, go now. That's exactly. Then Pastor Jody she had it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was saying the same things here. The gifts are real, and sometimes the church just ruins them by misusing them. I'm not perfect. I'm sure I've done that. I desire not to do that. But it happens, right? It says, but if you don't have love for others growing out of God's love for me, then you become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. Just an annoying distraction. Anybody ever met an annoying distraction before? Ever been one? Oh, man. 6 a.m., if I see Dr. Heidi's eyes open up even a smidgen and I'm up, I'm an annoying distraction. Like, honey, go have your coffee on the patio with Mullo. I can be, right? And if I have the gift of prophecy and speak a new message from God to the people, super important. And I understand all mysteries. Like, okay, dude, you're getting carried away. And I possess the knowledge and have all faith. Check that out. If you have the faith to move mountains, oh, I got this great ministry. Why? I can say this mountain, move here, move over there, and you're going to be healed in Jesus' name. That can happen. It makes those things can really happen. But if you don't have love, it counts as garbage. Garbage. God says that's garbage. Stop it. It's garbage. I'm trying to use other words than the words that I get edited. It's garbage. But if you do not have love, the reaching out to others, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, I can give everything I own to Heather's home. I can send everything I have to Ghana. I can surrender my body to be burned. I was sacrificed in my last mission in the Samoans. Ate Pastor Sean. I can be burned. But if I do not have love, it does me no good at all. Zip, babka, nil, nunca. I'm trying to think of other languages. Nada. Nyit. All right. That's a few. Nine. Yeah. Gifts and skills are just a distraction without love. It's just a television ministry waiting to happen. Without love, you get no credit for your work. Imagine working all day long and said, how much did I earn today? I put in overtime. Well, nothing. Why? Your heart wasn't into it. My heart wasn't into it. I was up in the attic pulling out stuff and all day long and sweating. I built this big thing or I dug this ditch and it took me 12 hours. Yeah, you get nothing. Come back when your heart's better. How many people would stay in that job? But that's practicing Christianity. Awake me from the nothing I've become. Awake me from the nothing I've become. Awake me from the nothing I've become. Right? I think I have a slide that will be good. Do not choose to be a nothing, especially when he has called you to be a something. Do not choose to be a nothing because I'm not going to choose to follow God's way of doing stuff. Don't choose to be nothing because I'm not going to love the way God says to love. I'm not going to who loves. I'm not going to do. Don't choose to be nothing because that's not what he wants for us. He's called us to be something. He's called us to be him as best we can be in the earth today. Don't choose to be a nothing. It's a choice. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Say love. Love endures. Say remains. Love endures with who? Every time I have to stop there. Like, how's your love? I'm a little low. I'm a little grumpy at, like, you know, at certain times of day, at certain sections of the interstate. But my love is good. I see you driving too, you know? So I'm going to do this. All right, we'll go through 1 Corinthians. Okay, Father. Love is patient. Oh, no, I forgot. That's the first one. Oh, man, that's tough. No one's kept an eye contact with me. It's like, Pastor, could you just move on? Or I'm going to check my phone. My grandma's calling. Patience and serenity. Say zoinks. Man, peace, right? Love is kind and thoughtful. Okay. I bet you people like Jasmine and Kirsten are like, woo, I'm winning in that one. Right? Yes. Get through that one. And love is not jealous. And the rest of us that just got mad because I picked Jasmine and Kirsten examples, we have a problem. Right there, the next one. Why did the pastor use me? Well, you got to work on that love is not jealous situation, apparently. Or envious. Why did Jazz and Sis get the credit? Didn't I just love him just today? Come on, we're the church, this stuff happens. And we got to hear it. You got to trust somebody to say it. If someone really loves you, they're going to tell you hard stuff sometimes. and you're not going to like it, but it'll change your life. And so I'm trying to be a vessel from God to get us, not you, us, ready to be better love tanks for the season he has called us to. Because without it, we're nothing. We accomplish nothing. We can build a building. I could start an internship down in Samoa. I can preach at conferences and thousands come dancing to the altar and get saved. And I could stand in front of him and says, you did nothing. Nothing. It's time to wake up. Got to check our love tanks. Right? Got to check our love tanks. Love is not envious. Love does not brag. Now, do you know anybody that does that? No one. You don't know anybody because we're all great at that. And love is not prideful or arrogant. All right, Daisy, you're catching eyes with me. I can move on. Good. 1 Corinthians. Got you. She's a very humble, sweet person. That's why she's got no problems in that area. 1 Corinthians 13, 5 through 6. Say love is not rude. The truth should be served well. Love knows how to say it and how to speak it. Love knows also when to shut up. Say zoinks. Zoinks. Right? Love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. Love thinks bigger than itself. Love, and you know how many times, and I don't do this anymore, so please don't think I do this anymore. Kirsten, I don't do this anymore, but there were a time or two I did this. I know, here I am, going to shame myself. I take the garbage out of the house. I don't think I ever have to be asked to. I take the garbage out. And sometimes I just want the bag replaced. Right? I did my part. And then I would humbly go, I'll just put the bag in because they're working. What's a bag? What's the deal? A couple times in my life, I left it out. I just want them to know I took the garbage out today. That I did a good job because it was overflowing. I just want them to know I served them so well. Oh, I got nothing. No garbage credit. Darn, I'm lost my garbage credits. I better do the dishes. Love is not self-seeking. It thinks bigger than itself. It is not provoked nor overly sensitive. Wow. Love is not provoked nor overly sensitive and easily angered. Say zoinks. Ah. Yeah, that's a low. That's when my love level was low. When I found it. Oh, man, my love level's low. I need a refresh, right? Say love.
Love
does not take into account a wrong endured. Say, uh-oh, Shaggy. It does not take into account a wrong endured. Doesn't mean you forget stuff. But vengeance is his. And sometimes we got to love enemies to be brothers. And that's not easy. And that's not all the time. Like I said, someone else's dysfunction is not always your responsibility. Someone else's dysfunction is not always your responsibility. But if love puts a who, God puts a who in front of you, then do what he asks you to do for that who. No more, no less. I could write for Seuss, honestly, and I'm just saying. Love does not take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice at injustice. This is hard for me. Are there any Patriots fans in here? Gosh, I hope not. Oh, thank God. I don't know how they can live with themselves after the Tuck rule. Really, the Tuck rule? Come on. That's an injustice. I feel I'm past it now. But love rejoices with the truth. Say love. Yeah, you know, I heard this terrible thing. I don't have the exact stats, but it was 7 times faster. A lie or a rumor will travel 7 times faster than the truth socially, in the media, in all our networks. Yeah. It's time we start just rejoicing in the truth a lot more than we're upset at the things that are wrong, right? 1 Corinthians 13, 7. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes. Huh? I hugged Kaylee 15 times. She only hugged me once. Man. Better talk to her, Lord. You know, you got to love beyond your scope. Got to love beyond your scope. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, remains steadfast during difficult times, and endures all things without weakening. Remaining steadfast during difficult times and during all things without weakening. Love is always tested. I wish it wasn't so. But love is always tested. And that's not meant to break us. It's meant to go, like my car this morning. I got out this morning and I need 3 quarts of oil, I think. I put a cord in there and I was like, whoa, this is metaphoric, God. Was I that low? I'm about to blow up. I don't even know. I'm blow black. I felt like my oil was good. During difficult times, we had difficult times this week as Kaposi's and as New Season Christian Fellowship. But I actually feel a lot closer to most of you through that. To have people go, Pastor, don't matter. Hacker is not going to stop me from doing what I do. I had someone say, I don't give because of this or that. I give because the Lord tells me to, and I'll keep doing it, and I don't care. It's like, man, love. Love will keep us together, you know? 1 Corinthians 13:8-11. Love never fails. But as for prophecies, they're going to pass away. As for tongues, they're going to cease. For gifts, special knowledge, they're going to pass away. For we know in part, we have to remember that, I think, a lot, because sometimes we think we know it all. Sometimes we think we know it all. Well, my church or my pastor or my friend or my. Hey. You only know in part. And we got to remember that. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, for our knowledge is fragmentary and incomplete. But when that which is complete and perfect comes, that which is incomplete and partial, they're going to pass away. Here's the important hit I'm going to go with. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. Sometimes the test of our love is our immaturity. And if you're going to reproduce mature believers in our life, then we have to mature. And if we keep getting hung up on 1 Corinthians 13 on a regular basis, we're never going to be mature enough to reproduce. It's now's the time. Now's the time. Oh, have you seen the darkness? Yeah, so now it's time for the church of God to arrive, multiply, and do your thing. It's dark, right? Light shows up better. Excellent. It's our season. But the problem is, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. You know what's one common thing that most children have a problem with? They're centric on themselves. Say, I'm a church. I'm maturing. Oh, I'm maturing. You're maturing. I'm maturing. But we got to keep remaining on the things that cause us to mature. Right? That's where we got to go. Our gifts, our skills, they're incomplete. Maturity needs to be practiced. So I have some homework for you. Oh, I'm going to get you out on time. Thank you, Jesus. Here's your homework. If you did not ask God to examine your heart, ask him. I want to keep saying that over and over again. If you forgot, that's the most important thing you can do. Take a minute to ask God to examine your heart. I just had a buddy almost die of a heart attack this week. He had a heart attack, 55. They did a heart exam, and 95 was, he didn't know, was blocked up. God can keep us from having those kind of spiritual heart attacks if we'll take time with him with our heart, okay? And then here's another question. Ask him this. Lord, can you show me where I'm immature? Well, you're awful jealous. I got to work on that. Well, you're awful impatient. I got to work on that. See, lots of times when he tells you where you're immature, he's going to take you back to this. Love. How we love, right? And I'm going to ask you a third thing. Who are you supposed to love this week? With this assignment. Like, who's on your radar for your love this year? How about we'll start tomorrow? Please start not with the poor and the people you don't know. Like I said, do both. There are people in this church and other churches in your neighborhood, in your families, who actually need this love right now so they can heal up. And he sent you. Now's your time. But if we go in sick, how are we going to make anybody else healthy? If I only got, you know, Jesus made this analogy. He said to these 10 virgins, they brought water, and then someone brought reserves, and we got back, or fire, so they had their oil for their fire. And it said, hey, we ran out of oil. They're like, tough nuggies. Too bad, so sad. And Jesus came, and those that were supposed to be there, part of the party, the reason they got kept out is they didn't bring enough extra love oil in their buckets. They weren't prepared for the season that was upon them. They were just, and he makes that analogy about the church. I want to be awake and prepared. I want us to be what we're supposed to be and touch who we're supposed to touch and love the way he wants us to love. And I want it to change the world because now's our time. And I believe this is one of the greatest churches in America. I honestly believe that with all my heart. You can't pry me out here. I don't like to speak anyplace else. I don't like to worship anyplace else. It's where I like to be because I see the hearts of folks here who are maturing and growing in their love, who are actually becoming the church. And aren't expecting perfection out of each other. Well, maybe we can work on that. Got some things to work on? I have some things to work on. So ask him to examine your heart, where you're immature, and who you can love this week. Those are good habits for a church to be in. So go into your hoods. If you're like, I just love it. My family's like, you love me so good. I couldn't take another piece of love from you. Like, awesome. And I'll start going around my neighborhood. I want you to love folks like never before this season. But we can't do it without us being full. So if you feel like you need a fullness, I need refilling, I'm going to invite you to stand with me, and I'm going to pray over anybody who needs a refill in their love tank. That's me, for sure. Yeah, sure, baby. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the courageous, Father, that just nothing but you. Want to run on pure God love juice. Lord, to have people stand at an altar call is always amazing to me because you're talking to people. And that means you want to do something based on the response. You're such a good dad. So, Lord, I pray you wrap your arm around these folks today and they'd feel it. On their left side and on their right side. You'd embrace us. You're such a good dad. You're not trying to put us in time out, correct us, chastise us. You're trying to clean our hearts out so we can run and not grow weary. We can love and not faint. So Lord, Holy Spirit, I don't know else to do this. I'm asking you to fill us right now. Some of us, our hands are open. Some of us, our hearts are open. But Lord, as an act of submission and surrender, we're asking you to fill us right now. I'm going to take a minute. And I'll be quiet. And let you do what you do. Lord, in this next season, as we address the wounded, I pray you heal up the cracks where the love's coming out. And they don't want it to come out. It's not like they use it up on some kind of experiment. Lord God, there's cracks and wounds in our lives that the love just seeps out. We have nothing left for anybody, and our damages control us. Lord, I'm asking for this season for wounds to be healed by your stripes. That wounds would be healed during this season so we could love the very best we can for you. So, Lord, I ask for healing of hearts. Mending of lives, refreshing of vision, in Jesus' name. And the church said amen. Love on somebody today, please, before you go.